Next up, we have WOOC correspondent Kathy High, who interviewed artist and designer Ryan Hoover, who is a founding member of Bugs, a Baltimore-based do-it-yourself community biology laboratory.
Bugs is the Baltimore Underground Science Space. It's a community bio lab, and we're a place for creative biology.
That's great. And the building is huge. This facility is really giant. You've been here about 4 years, you said?
Yeah, around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's take a tour of the lab.
Yeah. So in the first room here, we have this kind of big meeting space. This is where we have talks. We often have talks on Friday nights. Being in this region is really great. We have there's a lot of scientists at Hopkins, also a bunch of folks from DC from all the different bureaus there. So we're able to really attract some top researchers and scientists who are often excited to present their research to a different audience.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
What are the youngest and the oldest members that you have here?
We have high school students working on an iGEM project, and then we have retirees working as well, so it's a full range.
That's great. I think some of the listeners might not know what iGEM is.
Oh, right. So iGEM is the International Genetically Engineered Machines Competition, where students work to design an organism to perform some novel function. So there's a group here. The past 2 years, they were working on developing organisms to break down certain components. Last year, they were focused really specifically around plastics, looking at plastics in the Inner Harbor and how we could use microbes to help with that.
Oh, that's great. Do you know what they're working on this year, or have they not gotten that far?
I'm not sure this year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they're extending that project. I haven't really been involved with them. I think they're really just kind of building their team right now, and we want to have the students have agency on that.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so here we are in the lab.
Right. This is our main lab space here. It's pretty well equipped for working, particularly at kind of molecular biology. So we've got PCR machines, the usual stuff, incubators. Autoclave, centrifuges, all the things to make something a specific temperature and then spin it around, which is pretty much all of biology.
And we're standing in the lab, which is really, as I said, it's really large. It's probably about 800 square feet in here or something?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the numbers are.
But it's big.
It's I think actually bigger than that, actually. Mm-hmm. So we've got a nice long bench space for classes where students can kind of, they're facing each other, so there's a good sense of community and dialogue, and enough room for multiple projects to be happening at one time.
And so you have classes in here kind of on and off all the time?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So a lot of the classes will run, sometimes there's things that just run for a few hours on a weeknight, but then we'll have other classes that maybe run every other Saturday for five sessions, something like this. So there's a range of things.
And how do you get people from the community to get interested in this?
It's like a challenge for all organizations, so pushing a lot out through social media. Sarah, our lab manager, does a great job with that. Just trying to get the word out. It attracts a really kind of novel group of people, and a pretty wide range too. Not just Baltimore. We get a lot of people from Northern Virginia, out in the sort of surrounding counties of Maryland. It's a pretty broad range of folks that come in.
That's cool. And why do you think a place like Bugs is important?
I think it's really incredibly important for citizens to understand this technology. With all of its capabilities and all of the sort of implications of those capabilities, that are coming online now and will be even greater social and technological and sort of health factors over the coming decades. It's critical that citizens understand this stuff. It'd be nice if our politicians understood it too.
right on.
but I think it's a sort of imperative. if we, you know, if we believe in a democratic society, that we sort of understand this stuff and can speak about it from an informed position.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And one of the things that I'm worried about is that I see in a lot of the schools they're kind of doing away with their labs and things like that because they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find a lot of high school and even middle school kids or even younger come here?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, even schools from, like, wealthy districts will have them in here working, you know, students who want to do something like iGym. Mm-hmm. But particularly in Baltimore City, you know, the schools are just woefully underfunded, and doing something like this is really hard for them.
Right.
I think one of the other interesting things about Bugs is, like, you know, we don't have a huge budget either, but we've got knowledgeable and really resourceful people. Mm-hmm. So we figure out how to do this stuff a lot cheaper than, you know, would be happening in a university research lab. So
like a lot of your equipment, did you get it off of eBay or have it donated, for example?
Yeah. I mean, most everything in here is used. You know, a couple of key things, like you want to make sure your autoclave is 100% right, or everything else kind of goes to crap after that.
What does an autoclave do?
Oh, so an autoclave is what we use for sterilizing all of our equipment and media. So if that's compromised, everything is compromised. So that's key to have. Also, our minus 80 freezer, which was long-term storage for all of our organisms, like that, again, you want to be rock solid. If that fails, then, like, you can just lose years and years of work.
Yeah, totally.
So I think those are the two things that were new. And actually, the minus 80 we got at an auction, but it was brand new. I mean, some of the equipment in here is probably older than I am, which is saying something at this point. But it's all good stuff. It's robust things. So it's about being resourceful, knowing what you can get away with, sort of finding cheaper things.
Yeah, cool. And you also teach at MICA, which is the Maryland Institute of Contemporary Art. So you are kind of one of these tweener people, I call them, in between art and science and other disciplines. So how does art kind of, you know, get its way into this kind of situation?
Right. I mean, you often find that artists are sort of early folks into any new technology, right? And I don't need to tell you this.
Yeah, I like to dabble myself. You're right.
We've got a couple artists working here besides myself. Ryan Hammond is doing some really great projects here, who is a MICA alum and has been working in the lab doing an open source gender codes project where he's genetically engineering plants to produce sex hormones, which opens up a lot of sort of interesting things on a kind of biotech level, but also just on a kind of social level as well. Opening up this dialogue about, like, access to hormone therapies and you know, issues of identity being, you know, regulated by a pharmaceutical industry. So it's a really sort of rich space, I think, for artists to be working in many ways.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great project.
Yeah.
So shall we walk around the lab a little
sure.
and just see what's what's what here?
So we've got equipment for visualizing gels. So when you do gel electrophoresis, you can see, is this DNA construct that I put together the right size? And if it's the right size, it's usually the right thing.
Cool.
Standard kind of balance for weighing out reagents and the like. Some kind of storage space for people working on their own projects in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep stuff stored here.
Oh, some good smelly petri dishes.
Oh, yeah.
Growing stuff.
Yeah, so these are, we do a lot of, like, auger art workshops. So it's a really great way for people to kind of come in and work directly with living organisms in a way that you can then sort of actually see the results. So much of what we do in here is, like, pipetting one, like, tiny, tiny drops of clear liquid into another tiny drop of clear liquid, and, like, you don't really get to see what's happening. But with this, like, you know, you streak some stuff. You do a drawing on this auger plate, and then a few days later, it just like explodes with all these vibrant colors. So you get purples and oranges and reds and yellows. So it's really fun stuff.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great.
And we've been working with ASM to distribute these packages of different organisms for this type of work.
Hmm. So. What are the different organisms that you work with? So like bacteria and yeast?
Yeah. It's all bacteria and yeast.
Yeah, cool. Cool.
So I think you can...
safely bet it's that, yes.
Yes. So then we have refrigerators, of course.
Yeah.
For live cultures and for media. A variety of incubators. This is actually a project I need to check on.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is a project that Walter Zembeck and I are collaborating on. So inside this incubator, we have this aerosol bioreactor that we've made.
Hmm.
So what happens here is we've got this vat of nutrients here, and there's this ultrasonic fogger that creates an aerosol of these nutrients that then gets pumped into this growth chamber here. If you look closely, you can see on this mm-hmm. side, we have this sphere that's covered in bacteria.
Yep.
And this is a bacteria called Gluconocytobacter xylanus. This is G. hanseni in this case. And it produces a bacterial cellulose. So this makes these really fine nanocellulose fibers. And what we're trying to do is grow these into a three-dimensional structure.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, this grows on the liquid-air interface of the media. So here we have it in this around the sphere, and we're adding the media sort of with this fog to see if we can get it to grow. And it's you can see there we've got a nice little layer of cellulose growing on this.
No, you can definitely see it. It's really beautiful. So the ball is sort of coated with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you're feeding it with the fog.
Yeah.
It's such a great way, delivery system. Really brilliant.
Yeah, it's working out. It's not growing quite as fast as we'd like, but...
Woo! So you can hear. It's going. Yeah. It's certainly going.
So right now it's pushing air through all the lines to clear out all the lines.
Uh-huh.
And then in just a second, you'll hear that fan slow down a little bit, and the fogger will kick on.
Cool.
And you can see it kind of sputtering over here.
Yeah.
And this chamber will fill with fog, and then the air sort of pumps that fog into their growth chamber.
That's beautiful. I'm going to have to get a picture of you in front of it.
Yeah.
Here, wait a minute. So this has been an amazing interview. I wanted to thank Ryan Hoover for showing us bugs. This is a DIY biolab in Baltimore.